Matthew chapter 18. And but we're going to start in verse 21. We will start in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. The lesson, the discipleship lesson today is on forgiveness. Forgiveness. There is little that I can think of when it comes to the Christian life that will aid your ability to be victorious than your ability to forgive when someone wrongs you. Because I honestly believe it's one of the hardest things to do. It's easy to love people who love you. It's easy to be a blessing to people who are a blessing to you. It's much harder to love your enemies. It's much harder to pray for those who despitefully use you. It's much harder to forgive when you're wrong. When somebody has done you wrong, it's not easy to forgive. And the greater the wrong, the harder it is to forgive. And so a Christian's ability to establish the relationship with Jesus Christ is often dependent on your ability to forgive those who have wronged you. And everybody in this room has been wronged. Somebody has hurt you at different times of your life. It's going to happen again. People are people. People do dumb stuff. People do things when they're hurt. When they are hurt, they hurt people. I have a rule of living that try to help people that states this: hurt people hurt people. When you're hurt, you will tend to hurt others. And so you're going to get hurt. You're going to be hurt. It's part of life. But your ability to forgive is essential to your success as a Christian. In Matthew chapter 18, we have a story that I believe explains a lot of forgiveness. I think will help you. And so Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says this: "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" I honestly think that Peter was trying to be ultra spiritual. That Peter was saying, you know, he's looking around. He said, okay, how often should somebody hurt me, sin against me, and I forgive them? And he threw out what I think he considered to be a big number, a number that most people, including him, would never achieve. He said, till seven times? And I think he was thinking, this is a big deal. I think he was thinking that this is, that about seven times, I'm being really spiritual here. I mean, seven times, who's going to do that? But I think he was shocked, as I think many of us are, by Jesus' response here. He said, verse number 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 70. 490 times. Now, no one in their right mind starts doing this. Okay, that's one. That's two. That's three. You got only 487 left. And then I'm getting you. No one's going to be counting 490 times. And so Jesus isn't saying you're supposed to keep track of it 490 times. He's saying that if you forgive somebody 490 times, you're in the habit of doing that. Forgiveness should be something we get in the habit of doing, something that should be part of our nature. And it's something that I think that we struggle with. There's a process of forgiving. Has anybody ever said to you, you need to forgive and forget? You ever heard that before? And how many times you ever actually forgot? It's not really that possible. I mean, next time you see that person, you didn't forget. It kind of rattles around in the back of your mind, does it not? It's just always there. So then he explains. Jesus then goes into a little parable. He says, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, verse number 24, One was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, you have, most people have no idea just how much money this is. So back then, and this is, it's actually more than this, but for just number's sake, one talent is like equivalent to $1 million. So here's somebody who owed 10,000 talents. That's an absurd amount of money. How do you get in debt that much? I have no idea. And this was a servant. I don't know what he did with his master's money to cause him to be 10,000 talents, where one talent equals $1 million, in debt. This was an absurd amount of money. There is no way this servant is ever going to pay off this debt. No way. And verse number 25 says, but for as much as he had not to pay, well, duh, there's no way he's going to pay this, right? His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, again, I do not believe that he, even selling him into slavery and selling everything he has, is going to pay this debt. And thus, verse number 26, and there the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I think that's wishful thinking. I don't think that's going to happen. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave, notice this, and forgave him the what? The debt. Now, understand there is a difference between forgiving a wrong and forgiving a debt. When somebody wrongs you, they incur a debt. In your eyes, they incur a debt to you. They wronged you. And it's often that debt that we seek to undo or right. And we'll try to balance the scales. We'll hurt them because they hurt us to make even the score. That's our thinking oftentimes. And so the wrong is, see, that understand that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus didn't forgive us the wrong. The wrong still has to be paid for. That, or the wrong is still there, but it's the debt, the sin debt that Jesus paid for that allows us to go to heaven. The wrong is still wrong. He didn't make the wrong right. All he did was pay the debt of the wrong with his shed blood, with his death on the cross. He paid the debt that we owe because of the wrong, but the wrong is still wrong. Dying on a cross didn't make the wrong right. A lie is still a lie. Theft is still theft. Murder is still murder. Adultery is still adultery. Fornication is still fornication. That doesn't change. The wrong is always wrong. Sin is always sin. But the debt, it is the debt that has occurred with the wrong that was forgiven. His Lord forgave him the debt. The wrong was still wrong. He just didn't have to pay back the debt. Verse number 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence, it's like a buck. It's like a dollar or less. Could be like a nickel. I mean, it's not very much. And laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And then his lord, after that he had called unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee that all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. That's a scary verse right there. That's a scary verse. Jesus said, my Father is not going to forgive you. Don't, from your heart. I mean, it's not the kid thing. Remember, your kid does something wrong, and you tell your kid does something to some other kid, and you tell your kid, you tell him you're sorry. So the kid walks up and says, sorry. There's no heart there, correct? There's no heart. He may have said sorry, but there's not the heart that was with it. And the Bible, and Jesus said, look, you don't just say the words to forgive. There's got to be some emotion behind it. From your heart, you have to mean it. Because that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't a facade. Forgiveness isn't something that you just say. Forgiveness is something that you feel from your heart. It's meaningful to you. And there's a reason for that. What is the importance of learning to forgive? And by the way, forgiveness is a process that you do learn. It's not something that's easy to learn, but it is something that you do need to learn. Forgiveness is a process that takes time. It is one that you learn. Forgiveness is never easy, especially when you're hurt deeply. So number one, how do you learn to forgive? Number one, I think that the first thing that you need to realize, I think it's important to realize, is that you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12 says this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Psalms 86, 5 says this, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, learning to forgive others begins with recognizing that a holy, almighty, powerful God has forgiven you. Because let's be honest, there's not a person in this room, there's not a person outside this room who can ever say, I have earned God's forgiveness. I am such a good person. I've lived such a good life. I've not disappointed Jesus. I've not disappointed God. I've lived my life righteously to the point that even my thoughts, even every imagination in my heart has been pure before God. There's no one that's going to be able to say that. No one that's going to be able to do that. We are all sinners. We have all hurt God, if you will. We have all done despite to the Spirit of grace. We are all in need of forgiveness. So one reason why you can forgive others is because you're in need of forgiveness. You need to realize that God has forgiven you, so why can't you forgive others? It is, I understand it's not easy, but it's the first step into learning to forgive is to realize that you're forgiven. Number two, God does command us to forgive. This is not an option. This is not something that you can say, well, I'll forgive so-and-so, but it depends on what they do. Because there's certain lines. They cross that line. No forgiveness. No forgiveness. And there's some pretty bad things that people do. I mean, how in the world do you forgive? How in the world do you forgive somebody who has taken, for example, a loved one from you? Those families who lost today in that Georgia shooting, they are going to be angry. They are going to be upset. They're going to be asking questions. And they're going to have, it's going to be difficult for them to forgive this boy who took their loved one from them. And yet your sin put Jesus on the cross. I mean, think about this. If everybody on the planet lived a completely righteous life, but you had only committed one sin, Jesus would still have to go to the cross for you, for that one sin. So in effect, my sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin did that. And yet, Jesus, while he was there being crucified, looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for for they know not what they do. What an amazing testament that is. What an amazing thing that is that Jesus did for you and me. And so God has the right to command us to forgive. In fact, Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That is in the imperative tense. That is a command. We are to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did God forgive you? It wasn't because you earned it. He did it for whose sake? Christ's sake. So can we not therefore forgive those who have hurt us for Christ's sake? Look what he did for us. So for his sake, can we not forgive those around us when they hurt us? Forgiveness releases the anger and bitterness in your heart so that you are not tainted by it. I'll talk a little bit more about this later on, but the main reason why we forgive somebody is not so that we can let them loose from their debt. So that it's not so that we can say, well, fine. It's not to make wrong their right. No, the honest truth is the reason why we forgive people is one of the main reasons. Well, number one, because God commanded it. Amen. Number two is because your anger and your bitterness keeps you in bondage more than it does the person who has wronged you. Bitterness is like a poison. Like a cancer. It corrupts and eats away at your spirit. And when you get angry, when you get bitter at somebody, one reason why you forgive is so you can release yourself from that bondage. So that you don't have to wait around of your anger, the weight around of your bitterness. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Forgiveness is not about releasing the guilty party from the wrong. Again, a wrong is wrong, correct? We're not saying the wrong becomes right. But it is about releasing them from the debt they owe you or the perceived debt you think they owe you. You did this to me. Now you owe me. We want them to make it up. So let me talk about the forgiving process. What's involved in the forgiving process? Because this is not something that's going to be easy, and it doesn't come naturally to us, does it? We don't walk around saying, oh, somebody did me wrong. Hot dog, I'm going to forgive you. We don't think that way. It's not a natural thing that comes to us. It's something that we have to work at. So I'm going to give you some steps, some things you can do to help you forgive somebody who has wronged you. This isn't a magic wand. It's not some spoofle dust. You're not going to walk away from this discipleship lesson thinking, okay, I can forgive everybody who's hurt me now because I heard Pastor Baker teach me how to do it. No, this is something that you're going to have to practice. You don't watch an NBA professional basketball game and then walk away from the game thinking, I could do what they do. No, you don't get to be like that until you practiced a lot. This is the same thing. Coming to hear Pastor Greg teach a sermon or preach a sermon doesn't change you at all. It is you taking the truths and then putting them into practice that's actually going to make a difference in your life. And this is something you have to practice. Number one, first step that I would do when somebody has wronged you, the first thing I would do is I would pray. Specifically, I'd pray for the person who wronged you. Now, that is something everybody here can do. But you can go to God and you can pray for the person who has wronged you. That is a good first step to getting to the place of forgiveness. In fact, here's what I've done. I've gone to God and I said, God, so-and-so hurt me. Now, if it's not too big of a deal, could you get him in a car accident? Don't kill him. Just bang him up a lot. Because I'm mad, right? I'm angry. Don't look at me like that. You're like, you shouldn't do that. Okay, you're right. I didn't say that out loud to anybody, but God already knew my heart, and he already knows your heart when you're wrong too. And I'll say, and then at the end of the prayer, I'll say, God, I know that's not right. Forgive me for my anger and for my bitterness. Don't give him an accident. Give him a flat tire instead. And gradually, as I begin praying, and eventually my prayer begins to say, God, I don't think so-and-so even completely realizes just how much they hurt me. I don't know if they understand that what they said to me hurt me as deeply as it did. And I need to forgive them. So God, help me to forgive. And if I keep praying for so-and-so, eventually in time, my prayer changes and I can finally just say, God, about so-and-so, I forgive them. I forgive them. But I do believe it begins with prayer. And don't try to fake God out. He already knows your heart. Don't try to come to God all spiritual. God, so-and-so hurt me and I forgive them. In your heart, you're seething and say, boy, I wish you would. Get that lightning bolt ready. God already knows your heart. You're not faking him out. You need to be honest with God and then ask forgiveness for your own anger and your own bitterness, and then begin that process of praying for so-and-so, asking God to bless them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, man. You will be able to come to a place of forgiveness eventually if you begin the process of praying for them, particularly when they have wronged you. Now, that's the first thing you can do. Again, don't try to fake God out. He already knows your heart. But you need to come to a place in your prayer life that as you pray for so-and-so, I have discovered this about prayer, that when you pray for somebody, even if you start praying in anger, prayer has a way of changing your heart. Yeah, I mean, David, when he writes his Psalms, he's like, God, so-and-so did me wrong. Get him. Get him. And then over time, by the end of the Psalm, he's like, God, he's much more at peace. He's more forgiving. Remember Shimei? Maybe you may not remember him, but he cursed David as David was leaving because his son, Absalom, had run him out of the city. And Shimei was cursing him and spitting and throwing dust at him. And one of his mighty men said, hey, should I just, hey, you want me to go take his head off for you? And he said, no, let him curse. But where did David find that level of forgiveness? Because he had been attacked. I think he found that level of forgiveness because he had learned to pray for his enemies. Prayer will change your heart. It really will. So number one, pray. Number two, if the one who has wronged you is aware that they have wronged you, then at some point after you've done some praying, you need to go to them and tell them that you forgive them. Now, if they don't know they wronged you, then don't walk up to somebody and say, I forgive you. They're like, for what? If they don't know, because sometimes we do it without realizing that we've hurt somebody, correct? I'm famous for that myself. I'm actually very talented at doing that. And so I'm asking for forgiveness from all of you ahead of time. Because I can indirectly, unintentionally hurt people without realizing that I'm doing it. And so please forgive me in advance. But if they don't know, don't walk up to them and look them in the eye and say, I forgive you. Now they're going to be hurt. They'll be like, what? What's going on? If they're unaware, then just take it to the Lord. Take it to God and say, God, so-and-so hurt me. They don't know they hurt me. Help me to forgive them, and I do forgive them. Number four, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not about forgetting it, but it is, you'll likely remember from some time, but forgiveness is about letting go of your own pain and your own suffering. Number five, if the one who wronged you does not seek forgiveness, because see, that's one thing that we think of. If somebody comes to me and says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That's a lot easier to forgive them. But if they hurt you and hurt you intentionally, but they never come to you to ask for forgiveness, that changes things in your mind. Well, how dare they? They did wrong, and they don't even come to me and apologize? I hope they do get that flat tire. We begin that, in our mind, we begin, and so if the one who has wronged you does seek your forgiveness, grant it freely. Grant it freely. That should be something you do regardless. But if they don't ask for your forgiveness, you still give them forgiveness. It's important for you to understand that. It's important to you to make that distinction in your mind that whether they ask for forgiveness or not, you're going to grant it. This is a decision I believe needs to be made ahead of time. Ahead of time. See, if you decide ahead of time that you are going to forgive people when they hurt you, you're a lot more apt to do it. When my wife and I got married, I decided ahead of time, because when you're at the honeymoon phase, you can't do any wrong. But that honeymoon phase, some of you, that honeymoon phase lasted like all of 30 seconds. But during the honeymoon phase, everything is wonderful and happy and glorious. But that honeymoon phase passes, and invariably, the closer you are to someone, the more power they have to hurt you. The more you love someone, the more that person can and will hurt you. It's the nature of the relationship. When I got married, I decided ahead of time that based on my vows, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I was going to forgive her ahead of time. Now, honest truth is, I've done a lot more hurting her than she has of me. But forgiveness is something that you need to prepare in advance. You need to have that card up your sleeve in advance when it comes to relationships. Because then when it happens, you're not going to be like, oh no, what do I do? You already know what to do. I forgive you. You've already prepared that in advance. So again, you release them from number seven, release them from the debt you feel they owe you. And again, not the wrong. You're not making their wrong right. And in some cases, justice still needs to be served, correct? I mean, if somebody, if for example, here at First Baptist Church, if we learned that there was a molestation from an adult to a child, we're calling the cops. The police are going to get involved. We can forgive them, but it's not our place to say, oh, that's right. It's not right. It's still wrong. Amen? And so we can forgive that to me, to the debt to me is not the same as the debt to someone else, but the debt to me, that I can forgive, that I can release. And that is part of the forgiving process. Number eight, try to replace your anger and bitterness with compassion. We see here in the story in Acts chapter number, Matthew chapter 18 rather. We see the story of this man who had compassion. Compassion allows you to make a difference, and it will shift your heart from anger to forgiveness. Jude 1:22 says, and some having compassion, making a difference. Matthew 18:27 says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Compassion should move you. And it should be a habit. And number nine, forgiveness is something that you do over and over and over again until it's a habit. Jesus said, I don't say until seven times, but until seven times 70. You do it until it's a habit. It's something that you pre-plan. Again, a lot of these things are designed that when it comes to learning to forgive somebody, you got to have it up your sleeve already. You got to practice it. Practice it. Pray for people who have wronged you. It's so important. Let me give you real quick, three dangers of not forgiving. Three dangers of not forgiving. And these dangers, I mean to scare you. These dangers. Number one, if you don't forgive, you remain in bondage to your own anger and bitterness. Ephesians 4:31-32 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's a bitter, bitterness is a poison. It's a cancer. Acts chapter 8, verse 23. Peter, Paul said this to a man. He said, for I perceive that thou art in the gall or the bondage of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.
And so when you do not forgive, you remain in bondage to your own anger, your own bitterness. And I have watched it physically kill people, their anger. As a lady I knew back in Colorado when I was first beginning to pastor, she was so angry and so bitter at one of her neighbors that it was killing her. She was a mess physically, and it had to do with the bondage she put herself in because of her anger. She would not let go of her anger. She would not let go of her bitterness, and it was literally killing her physically. It's just not worth it. Your anger has a negative reaction to you physically. Your bitterness will poison you, not just your spirit, but physically. So number one, if you do not forgive, you'll remain in bondage to your own anger and bitterness. Number two, if you do not forgive, you allow Satan to have an advantage over you. You give him a place in your life to wreak havoc. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse number 20 says, neither give place to the devil. Those two go hand in hand. Your anger, if you do not take care of your anger, you give a place, a room, so to speak, in your life for the devil to operate. You give him wiggle room, room to maneuver. One of the things about wrestling is you try to lock up your opponent to the point where they cannot move. Because when they can move, they can get leverage. As soon as they get leverage, they can turn the tables on you, get an advantage on you. And if we let Satan have room, he will leverage that room against us and get an advantage over our lives and turn us against people that we love. Poison our mind and our thinking. The devil will take advantage of that anger and he'll take advantage of that bitterness and just completely ruin relationships and lives. And so if you cannot forgive, you are giving the devil a leverage in your life, advantage in your life. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10 through 11 says this, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. What does Satan do? He'll take your anger, he'll take your bitterness, and he'll take an advantage of it. We must be careful. So number one, dangers of not forgiving. If you do not forgive, you're in bondage to your own anger and bitterness. Number two, you allow Satan to have an advantage over you. Number three, God will hold you or us to your earthly debts. Now, I do not believe that if you don't forgive somebody, because, I mean, some of these verses are scary. For example, Matthew 18:35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Matthew 6, verse number 14 says this, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13 says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. James chapter 2, verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showeth no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. All of that is to say this, again, some scary verses in there. That, first of all, I don't believe you'll lose your salvation if you don't forgive somebody. I don't believe that's what it's teaching here. I don't believe that you're going to lose the fact that you're going to heaven, that God's not going to forgive you anymore. You cannot go into heaven here. But I do believe that God is going to hold you to your earthly debts if you don't forgive other people their debts. You owe me. And God's going to say, okay, well, you owe me a lot more. I'm going to call in some of those accounts now if you don't forgive. And I honestly do believe that God can chastise us, spank us, so to speak, because of our lack of forgiveness. God can spank us because of our own wrongs. You know, sin has consequences, earthly consequences. I could demonstrate. I got Brother Joe come up here, and I could punch him in the nose, and you'll see a consequence. His nose will bleed. There's consequences to sin. There's earthly consequences. That may not make me no longer a child of God, but God may let me suffer something if I don't forgive those who have forgiven when God has forgiven me. There's a danger here of not forgiving. It is such a, no other place in the Bible, nothing else comes close to this that God says, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. Nothing else comes close to this. Nothing else. The only thing that might come close is what the Bible calls the unpardonable sin. Everything else, nothing comes close to this. So God says, you better forgive or I'm not forgiven. Again, I don't think this is talking about you losing your place in heaven. I think it's God calling to account your earthly debts while you yet live. It's a scary prospect, is it not? See, there's a good reason to forgive, because you don't want God to call in your debts to him on this earth. You don't want it. I don't know how to be any more clear here. That's that passage that the Lord, the king, forgave the debt. But when that man didn't forgive his fellow servant, he called in the debt. He said, I'm going to deliver you the tormentors. And I'm going to make you pay the debt. Such a big deal. It's a big deal to God. Forgiveness is a key to the success of your Christian life. Your inability to forgive will ruin almost every other aspect of your Christianity. You got to forgive. It's imperative. I don't know how much I can stress this more than reading these passages. It is important. Amen.